Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show. April 4th, 2008. Now, some of you guys were complaining last week about the audio quality, and I sort of apologize for that, but you got to understand that that particular tape that you were listening to, which I'm not going to finish because of the complaints, was an actual UFO encounter and an autopsy that was happening, and it was being recorded live. So, yeah, the quality of it was crappy, but the intelligence, the information that was on there was incredible. But because of the complaints, I'm not going to finish it. There was another half an hour to go, but that's the way it goes. When one person complains, well, we don't want that one person unhappy. So we'll try to increase the quality. And please bear in mind that these Saturday night things that I do for you guys is an archive of stuff I've done over a 30-year period. And there's a lot of information out here that I've also forgotten about that's quite current today. And some of it's still a little bit ahead of the time. And so, you know, this is how it goes. We can't, you know, the Friday night show is a live show. You get the best sound quality in the world there. Absolutely. But on this, it's more about getting the information out. So if you don't like it, send me an email at fredbell@paradigm.com and tell me exactly what the problem is, and then we'll try to get it better. But don't complain to Don Newsom. He's got enough problems as it is, and this is a taped show. So tonight we're going to jump into a nice little thing that I did a while back, and hopefully this will quality on this will be a little bit better. I've spent a lot of money trying to have the best equipment here. Maybe I just need to learn how to use it better. I don't know.
It's been a while since I spoke here in San Francisco. I guess it's been 4 or 5 years. Maybe even longer than that. I can't remember the last time I was up here. Since then, a lot has changed. 1979, to bring you up to date, the Pleiadian contacts broke off, and they were getting very political towards the end, very less scientific, and the Andromedan contacts began in 1989, and they've been ongoing, and they've been a little bit more intense. The reason that the Pleiadians had backed away from our society to a large degree is because they can only appeal to man's emotional body. So what that means basically is if they get more involved than working through channels or contactees, they will end up having the karmic backlash of the human race on this planet feed back into their own home world and once again start wars. The Andromedans, who are known by many different, you know, names such as the Council of the Elders, the Older Ones, are a little bit different group of individuals, and they do pretty much intervene in world affairs when the world gets out of hand. And obviously the world's getting out of hand. We live in Southern California on a vortex that the Pleiadians had worked for a long time and the Andromedans had worked for a long time. In this vortex, I'm writing a book on it. It's also mentioned in my tape series, and I also mentioned in my seminars. It goes down into the core of the earth. We live on top of a volcano. There's three volcanoes in Laguna Beach, California, and we live on the center one. And I'll tell you, from Wednesday until yesterday, or day before yesterday, I saw a real vortex in action protecting our neighborhood. We had 500-foot flames two ridges away going down, and we saw houses from our house one by one explode. I mean, they might as well have been hit by shells, and we saw 1,000-foot huge flames go up in the air. But in our neighborhood, we barely even had ashes fall on our house. It was really amazing. The entire town was evacuated, except for a few of us hardliners. I was up in Malibu when that fire started, and I was coming back from a recording studio, and I had to walk like 6 or 7 miles because they wouldn't let anybody in the town, so I had to park my truck way outside of town and walk in. And it was really interesting because about 2 weeks ago, we had a window open down there before the fire started, and some ships came in. As a matter of fact, I called Sean Morton up, because usually when we have the heavy sightings, which he's been involved with, we call into him, and I always let him know what's going on. And we had a huge, about a 500-foot ship hovering over Laguna Beach, right down on Pacific Coast Highway at the bottom of the mountain that we live on. My wife and I both saw, and I imagine half the town saw it. Because when they come like that, they don't come real fast. They just come along 15 or 20 miles an hour, and they hover for a few hours and move out to the ocean. So we get a lot of visitations down there, as we do and have for years and years and years. In the science of extraterrestrial affairs, which I've been teaching for a long time, the Andromedan science differs from the Pleiadian science in the fact that it's more about the DNA and holographic changes in the body. One of the things that Liara told me, who is my Andromedan contact, she began to show me how they would start changing human affairs around. And she also began to teach me about, you know, the DNA energies or the etheric energies that run behind the magnetic fields of the Earth's magnetic field. If you were to look, for example, at how the human aura is created, you realize that in your brains you create electricity. Your brain requires a large amount of electricity. It goes down through the 72,000 wires in your body called the central nervous system. And whenever electricity moves through wire, it always produces a magnetic field at right angles. When the hormones, which are created inside your body through a chain that I'll talk about in my workshop, I won't have time to go into it now, which is very important to understand. The hormones, by the way, we define as the first unit of biochemistry to possess consciousness. And you have seven groups of hormones stored in seven different reservoirs called endocrine glands in the body. When these hormones arrive at the brain switching sites, they turn off and on synapses known as receptors and effectors. This then, through what are called electrolytes in the brain, transmits electricity through the human spine and into the human, causing the human aura to form. The Pleiadians taught us a tremendous amount about the aura field, the physical manifestations of it, the etheric, the astral, the mental, the intuitive, the causative, the etmic, and the zoic manifestations, seven levels of auric manifestations. One of the big things that they taught us was that if we're in a group here right now on planet Earth, like in this room, I would say that most of the people in here are generating a positive auric field versus maybe somewhere else in maybe a seminar, say, dedicated to the Ku Klux Klan or skinhead seminar. They might be generating a more negative field, a more biased field. So we look at the summation of that as an energy field. Now, the aura field also protects or destroys the body. It starts the death hormone in the pituitary pineal gland to kill you. It starts the birth hormones to give birth in a woman. The aura field is responsible for a lot of different things. A lot of people are not aware of what the aura does and how important it is. So, for example, if I'm going to bring this over here. I don't know if you can all see this, but this is an example I want to make. If you were to look at, this is a person with an aura field. This aura field could be induced over to another person, creating a summating field. And a third person will be over here, like this. The feedback between aura fields is called the personality, okay? And the personality becomes manifest at a certain level when you reach a certain level of consciousness of expression. For example, I had this next-door neighbor who was this perfect child back when I lived in Michigan years and years ago. And then all of a sudden, he became suicidal when he was about 23 or 4 years old, just out of, for no reason at all, it appeared. This is part of the personality that people don't understand why this happens, because the consciousness comes onto the body at a certain time. Secondly, when I worked at the University of Michigan years ago, we found that we studied the results of the Hiroshima Nagasaki atomic blast. When we studied this, we found people, Japanese people, at ground zero, meaning where the bomb went off, that had no permanent genetic damage in their DNA. Whereas people 30 miles away from the blast, where they should have been protected from it, had major DNA hereditary damage that was passed on. In these studies, we found out that the ones that were protected from the radiation had a large amount of certain kinds of herbs like fotai, ginseng, and gotukoa, which are called electrolytes, in their bodies. The ones that were damaged by the radiation did not. So in our teachings, we learned that in the brain area, the electrolytes were very important to generate electrical fields to send down through the spine. We also found that by using supernutrition and certain types of trace minerals, we could actually change the way that the human spine worked, meaning that in a person that's not very developed yet and their electrolytes are very low, a person what I would call basically tourist consciousness or brain dead, these people would have a very low battery. They'd almost need a jump start in the morning to get their brain going. And the wiring in their body has a very high level of resistance, meaning like this, they have lead wires. Okay. Then what happens is when you get a super battery in your body and you start exercising this electrical change through nutrition and other means, the wiring changes from lead to platinum in your body. When you go from a lead wire to a platinum wire, that means it takes a lot less resistance to get the electricity moving back and forth. And when you realize how hormones work, turning off and turning on consciousness all the way up to the speed of light, and when you realize that high-speed light vibrations with a certain amount of current behind them produce radiation, then the human becomes a generator of radiation, is no longer susceptible to it. When you generate huge amounts of radiation, example of a radiant generator was Jesus Christ. We use it for healing power, people like that. This radiation of the aura begins to extend out, not just for a few hundred feet, not just for a few hundred miles, but it begins to interpenetrate the eaters themselves throughout space and time. When you deal with somebody like a very powerful Pleiadian who is also generating a powerful aura, or an Andromedan, what happens is you start to make some form of contact, and this is how the contact, the experience begins, whether it be a channeling experience or a full-on physical contact. That's one level of the human aura. Second level is that, forgetting that for a moment, the next thing that happens is, let's say that person C over here, this is person B, person A, this person has a permanent out-of-body experience, meaning they leave their body. Okay, on this plane they're no longer here. What was happening here between these three energies is when you have people on the physical plane working their personalities out, it creates a secondary field, a higher field of energy. This higher field of energy is known as the emotional plane or the astral plane. So if person C would go out of their body, they would end up here, possibly on the astral plane. If this were a religious experience, meaning these were very devout religious people, this person C would be having this religious experience that their heaven world they'd been trained for on the physical plane, etc., etc. Okay? So you begin to see a little bit how the astral plane works. The next plane, which is the mental plane, which is beyond that, is a summation of the astral experiences. And this summates itself down to one being, which is the final plane, the Logoic plane. Okay? The extraterrestrials, with this technology, this works good and bad. You know, there's working with the form, leaving the form, moving into the heaven world, coming back from the heaven world. All this is experience. This experience is good and bad. It has a dark side, it has a light side. So you have good, bad, evil, and perfection all the way through the entire system. It's always that way. It's what you tune yourself into, okay? That's the basic thing about human auras. Now the next thing that comes into play that's very important to understand is the fact that the earth becomes a summation of all human auras. Right? The only problem with, as we've had for a long time on the earth, is that the earth has not had a positive aura field or a what I would call healing aura field or one that is gratifying the growth of the citizens creating the aura. It's been a negative, self-destructing aura field for a long time. This then means that here's the sun, it has a positive field. Then we have the first planet out, Mercury, and so on, all the way up through Mars, all the way out to Pluto. If you look at the energy fields between these planets coming from the sun, it forms the same kind of a field as the Kundalini field would form in the human spine. And energy is directed down to the sun and returns, and this ebbing and flowing and direction of energy creates a higher being known as the solar logos, or a very positive field that extraterrestrials would use to feed off of to move around in space and time. Now, if you're sitting here with a very harmonious solar system, and you're sitting here with the Earth or a chakra blowing out, it's going to cause a stress during a certain period of time, which it does. What typically would happen is when the planets would align themselves in certain conditions, the magnetic etheric conditions would be right, would create a tremendous stress from the Earth down into the sun. The sun would shoot out solar flares. The solar flares would affect man's emotions in a negative way, and we'd have earthquakes. I'm sure you're familiar with that. Well, this system was getting worse and worse. We're having more and more problems on the planet because the whole system of the Earth, the Moon, the Sun, and the whole system we have here is rotating around a bigger instrument known as the Pleiades. This greater rotation takes place every 25,827.5 years. When this huge system goes around the Pleiades every 25,000 years, there are 2,000-year periods that break in energy fields transfer. These are known as ages. We're coming from the Piscean Age going into the Aquarian Age. As we go through these different ages with this whole system rotating around, the integrity of the incarnating soul, back down on that previous drawing that I gave you, changes. For the last 2,000 years, we had the integrity of a soul coming from the Piscean Age saying, I'm a believer, I want to believe in something. As a result, for the last 2,000 years, these souls incarnating of great power instituted all of these different religious and church systems to support their belief structures. Now we're coming into a time where we have the knower soul, the Aquarian soul coming in. They don't need a Bible, a church, or a Global 2000 report to realize that there's a great split in consciousness and this planet's in dire jeopardy. When these kinds of souls start coming in, these are souls that are free of incarnating on the astral plane in the physical realms of our sun, earth, and moon as we know them, and can come from other galaxies and other spaces and times and dimensions. And that's why you see such a potpourri of different kinds of people coming in at this period of time, and that's why there's so much confusion and chaos. So the chaos has organized itself into one form and is trying to cause destruction to prevent this incarnation of this higher soul, because chaos doesn't want to be recognized or illuminated in the light. When you look at the different extraterrestrial races that are here, they're also structured in hierarchies. The Andromedans are something over the Pleiadians. The Pleiadians are something down over the physical. So you begin to see how the whole structure in the web works. Unfortunately, the extraterrestrials known as the Greys have been coming here for quite a while. They've gained quite a bit of power, and they have begun abducting and implanting. I think over 300,000 Americans are implanted right now with these little transmitters. I'm sure you remember the Whitney case in Austin, Texas a few years ago, where it was 14 people shot, mass murdered, and they found two implants in his head that were unexplainable. These kinds of things are beginning to happen now. People disappear, people get abducted, women get abducted, impregnated, all these kinds of things happen. So the Andromedans, you know, one of their first things they wanted to do is relieve pressure on the Earth's auric field to the relation to the solar system, so we could relieve the earthquake pressure so we wouldn't have the big one in California. We'd have a series of minor earthquakes instead. So they began to make some changes. On September 26th of this year, they moved in and they shifted the etheric field of the Earth a quarter of a degree. And they will continue each year shifting it a quarter of a degree or so until they make a 4-degree shift by the year 2000. Now, people say, well, what does that mean? Well, it's real simple what it means. First of all, the Earth has a magnetic field. The field that's being shifted, which is the etheric field, is the field that drives the magnetic field. At night, when you go to sleep at night, the first thing that happens is your body has to rejuvenate. You use up 80% of the nutrition in your brain when you sleep at night, and you start to recharge off the Earth's field, which is called the Anima Mundi by the Tibetans. course, radiation will oftentimes block that sensation. How many of you get that jumping sensation when you first go to bed at night? That's because you're being hit by radiation. That's why, for example, sleeping inside of pyramids is a great way to, an alternative to stop that effect. Then what happens is after you've been sleeping for a couple of hours, your body then goes into what's called rapid eye movement sleep, and your aura field moves out 13 feet or more. When this happens, you and your astral body go out and communicate in some situations. Let's say you're a young single person, you've never met your lover yet or your future husband or wife. You go out and meet them on a higher plane, and you start a physical chain of events as a result of that meeting to come together. Some of you will go out and meet teachers. Some of you will go out and meet extraterrestrials. Some of you go out and meet deceased in your family that you'll be with in another lifetime or even in this one because they may incarnate. All these things happen. And if you don't get this kind of feedback through rapid eye movement sleep, you go crazy. Okay, you go insane. The grays, having a different red blood structure than humans do, have their physical plane down on the astral plane. So they become very powerful, influencing you when you go to sleep or when you wake up at night. Okay, these are some of the things that you learn from these teachings. But the point I'm trying to make here is that the lower forms that are going up every night to get their recharging, unless you make some minor major changes, are no longer going to get the anima mundi feedback or the etheric feedback that cleans out the liver, the kidney, and the spleen, and all the things that happen during sleep. This is going to gradually go away. Because by the year 2000, with a four-degree shift, these people that are such what I call weirdos in this world that control it in such a strange way are going to have major body functional problems. The first functional problems will also begin to hit the environment, which they already have. Right after this thing was made in September 26, the temperature of Denver, right after a football game, dropped 60 degrees in 24 hours. Then we had the major fires in California that we're having right now that sprung up from some wise arsonist that decided to take things into his own hands. It's a human phenomenon versus a terrestrial phenomenon. These are the things you're going to see, and you're going to see a lot more of it, so be prepared. The next thing that happens is the red blood cell reproduces in 90 days. So that means that a lot of people from September 26th to December 26th, which is right around Christmas, that are in power right now in a negative way are going to start having respiratory and blood problems. Okay? And as this four-degree shift takes place over the next 7 years, the body, strangely enough, reproduces itself all the way through in 7 years. So that means these individuals that are creating this negative aura in the next 7 years aren't going to have bodies anymore that they're used to. Okay? As Einstein says, the old generation has to die out and get out of the way. Well, this is a little bit of a natural push from some space people that know what they're talking about. And so as a result, in the next 7 years, we strangely enough hit the year 2000, which was when all these things, they say things come to the end. So you begin to see, from an extraterrestrial scientific point of view, what is going on. Now, what we do, what I've been doing for years, is introducing different devices that have been extraterrestrially influenced to help people deal with these changes. And therefore, stay grounded. I mean, you need to exercise. You should do yoga. I do martial arts. There's a lot of things that we should do to stay in touch with the earth. I think it's very important. Stay nutritionally oriented. Avoid a lot of the junky foods that are out there. These are basic things that you're going to have to do. But I pity these McDonald's hamburger eaters in the next 7 years if that's what they live on. You know, it's all right to cheat once in a while, but some people survive on this food. These are the kinds of people that are going to have major problems. One of the devices that we developed is called the nuclear receptor. I'm sure some of you have heard of it. And it's something that I'm wearing. And I'll just show you real quick here how the thing works before I run out of time, if I could get one volunteer up here on the stage for muscle testing. Okay? You want to come up? Okay. You guys having a... We just got started here with the conference. Are you guys enjoying the conference? Yeah. Shall we do this again next year? Yeah. Oh, good. What's your name?
Karen.
Okay, Karen. What I'd like to do with Karen here, freak her out a little bit. Okay, turn around and put your arm straight out. Stand back a little bit. There. Put your arm straight out. Now make a fist. Okay. Now, resist when I push down. Okay, there's your strength. You feel your strength pretty strong. Okay, now what I'd like you to do is get high and kill your, you know, have some poison glue.
Holding it?
Yes, breathe it. Now, you should start breathing it. Put your arm back out. Put your arm in the same position. Okay.
Back.
Yeah, okay, now start breathing. Okay. Feel the difference?
Yeah.
No strength now, is there?
Ooh.
You get a little bit high. That's a methyl ethyl ketone glue. It's a deadly poison that she's breathing there. Doesn't take long on that. Okay, now put this on. Okay, now put your arm back out. Now put that back up and start breathing it again. Now resist. Resist.
Whoa.
Made you a little stronger, didn't it?
Very much so.
Yeah, that was 200 pounds I was leaning on your arm. That's all I wanted to get across. Thanks. Thanks, Karen. You're welcome. This is one of the things that the Pleiadians gave us in 1981 that we use. What it does, it allows you to process poison through your body. You're never going to get away from it. You're always going to have to deal with it, processing poison. See, if you look at the red blood cell, you have, in the hemoglobin it's called, you have two alpha chains and two beta chains. And these are iron atoms, which are perfect octahedrons. The body is made up of oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon. Carbon is a pyramid shape, like this pyramid that I have here. If when you breathe a poison, like the poison coming from the freeway out there, it distorts the shape of the pyramid. Now, why is the pyramid so important? Because the pyramid has in it seven different entry levels of energy that the seven levels of consciousness flow through. And so what happens when the red blood cell moves through the body, it releases the life force through the entire body. When you put poison to it, the first thing that's affected is the oxygen, which immediately affects the electricity in the arm or whatever organ is being stressed becomes weak. When you bring a device like the receptor near it, which is made up of pyramids and a filter stone and another filter on the back, what happens is it causes the integrity of the hemoglobin, the iron atom, to go back to the pyramid shape. When this happens, the body strength is restored and you can handle all the stress. See, a lot of people don't realize that the body is, we teach body on one level, which is the biochemical level, the nutritional level that we're all educated with to a degree. Then we got to go back up to the level that makes that possible, that's the electrical level. And then we got to go back up another level, which is the etheric level. The etheric level is where this device works, and we call the etheric level, or a device that works on that level, an electrical precursing device. Now, the downside of the etheric level, or what on the etheric level would be negative, because for every positive is negative, would be stress. You know, horns honking, which you hear. People screaming at you all day long. Crowd noise. These kinds of things cause stress. Fumes from like this poison right here. These are the negative sides of it. We also, I'm sure some of you remember back in the 70s when we developed this pyramid right here that you wear on your head, because there's a lot of them up here, and we still wear these quite a bit. The pyramid on the head does another thing. It causes the brain to detoxify. Because when you breathe in air, it goes into your lungs, the dirt and the garbage is brought right into the red blood cell, which is over 700 amino acids. It's a very heavy substance. It's carried up immediately to the brain in very large arteries. When it gets to the brain, the arterial size of the brain becomes very small. And so as a result, going from a quarter of an inch from the trachea bringing the blood in to a millionth of an inch inside your brain, your brain acts like a filter. So over a number of years, what happens is your brain starts to fill up with toxins and poisons because the liver is on the back side of the brain, not on the front side. So what happens is the first area that goes out in the brain is the cerebellum. And what happens is you can't even balance. A lot of people can't even balance on one foot anymore and do things like that. Because, like we used to play hopscotch, because the cerebellum is blown out. Then what happens is this toxin moves to the midbrain. When it gets to the midbrain, you start becoming anemic, allergic, things that didn't happen in your childhood. You can't eat anymore, food allergies, all these stupid kinds of things. Energy drops. And then when it gets to the forebrain, what happens is senility, the death clock starts, and bam, you die of one of these stupid diseases. Now, On top of all of that, realize, if you study like the EIR, Executive Intelligence Review magazine, it comes out of Washington, some of the other publications that are out, Global 2000 report, that the Greys, working with, you know, with the Trilads and everybody else, have designed a genetic system for the Earth to basically die off and kill off most of the population. You know, their goal is 1 billion people by the year 2000. So the first thing that they attack is your immune system. And they hit your heart. One of the biggest scams that's going on right now is displacement of synthetic vitamins for real vitamins in the milk system. The vitamin A and D added to your milk. Now, what happens is you need calcium to make your heart beat. After your bones stop growing, calcium is the largest thing that your body needs to produce actin for your heart to beat. What do you need to get calcium assimilated in your body? Vitamin D, which used to come to this from the sunlight before they screwed it up with the ozone layer. When they screwed the ozone layer up, they did it with high-flying jet aircraft, not your refrigeration system. Your refrigeration system was a giant scam to get money off of you, $100 to do your car system over versus 10. So that's a big scam when you begin to understand what's going on. So what they have to do, they also to attack is the immune system, which is vitamin A. Of course, the first thing you want to take when you're sick is chromium, not vitamin A. Take chromium, vitamin A, and then vitamin C. Sometimes if you take vitamin C when you first get sick, you'll just feed the virus and not your body. A lot of people don't know that. So what happens is, if they put a synthetic vitamin D, that will stop your body's ability to, you know, absorb and make cholesterol usable. So they put a synthetic vitamin D in the milk. They put a synthetic vitamin A in the milk to destroy your immune system, because you don't want that in your system. If you want to drink milk, drink raw milk with all the natural things in it. When you start putting synthetic vitamins in your body, you die, okay, because your body can't use them. They have no life force in them. And now they're trying in December, behind an FDA labeling bill, to take all your vitamins and nutrition away from you, just completely strip you of it, except you can get a prescription and go down to the health food store and get, or the drug store, and get some more synthetic vitamins, because they won't put natural vitamins out. So that's why it's important to understand what's going on and to utilize these different tools that we have. Now, when you wear a pyramid, when you first put one of these power domes on, which is made out of titanium, you may get a splitting headache. You may not like it at first. Why? Because all this stuff starts coming out of your brain, going down into your liver, and your liver, you know, if you drink too much, your liver says the next day, I can't handle all this acetaldehyde from the spent alcohol, you know. But realize also, when you drink soda pop, your body produces about half a gallon of alcohol a day, too, in it. So what happens is you have to take the pyramid off, drink water, take vitamin C, and let the liver catch up again. So it's not always painless going through these detoxes that we go through. Now, does anybody have any questions here before I run out of time? They don't give us a whole lot of time to cover these subjects. Yeah.
I haven't heard you before, sir, but you used the word chip in about the second or third sentence of your talk. What chip were you talking about that came in?
Okay. The question is, I was using the word ship. It's very second nature with me. I've seen ships relate to extraterrestrial and terrestrial vehicles that are out of the ordinary. Okay. Example of a ship could be a large mothership that I saw in 1989 when I made contact with Andromeda. And that was a real interesting situation. We were, you know, this is, I'll just tell you a story, but I got a few more moments here. You know, with the Pleiadians, with Semyasi, and I had the same problem that Billy Meyer did, and a few of his contactees, we were very rarely allowed to bring out people to the contact site, because what the Pleiadians called auric stench, meaning they couldn't handle this negative auric stench of humans, right? So in 1981, for example, I was allowed as a Christmas present to bring about a dozen of my friends to a site in Laguna Beach to see a ship, you know, a 3-meter ship with a dome on the top, perform aerial maneuvers for about 20 minutes.
What time was that?
In 1981, it was January. But Christmas night at 1 o'clock in the morning in California time. But other than that, I didn't have, you know, occasionally we'd go out with a film crew. You know, we went out with Joe Randazzo from the UFO Library and we did some filming. Different people I'd be allowed to show, or they would come just enough to give me credibility where they wouldn't lock me up saying I was totally insane, you know. This was going on. So finally in Laguna Beach in 1989, you talk about, this is, gave a new word meaning ship to me, is I was 21 or 22 years with Sannyasi, learning how to clearly get what was transmitted across, because I'd get half of it right and my ego would jump in there. You know, the sensation of a contact would be the hair on the body standing up. A real powerful sexual feeling would come, and then a separate voice in my head would come. Never my thoughts, because my thoughts could talk to that voice. That was real interesting. So Liara comes along, and I had developed this to a high degree of what I call integrity in that time. Because in the early days, and Billy had the same problems, is you try to seduce Sannyasi on certain levels because of the feeling that she'd generate, and he tried it too, and we both got in trouble for it. And then you try to influence her. He tried to get her to eat a hamburger once, and she wasn't into it, but she said she could. I mean, some of the stupid things that we do, you know, you finally realize that, you know, these people are very powerful. And, you know, and I was basically an idiot at the time that they left, because I realized that all my terrestrial training didn't meet any very much at all to, you know, where they were coming from. They were way more advanced than we were. So my point to her is, in 1979, like, why are you leaving? I'm just getting into this whole trip now, you know. She says, well, we've gone as far as we can. We're leaving. You know, our group is done here. We got to take a break. So she left. So then here comes Liara. Now, I realize I developed, I'm a Leo, and I have an attitude problem, you know, like we all Leos do at some point. So here I am. All of a sudden, this new voice comes inside my head, and it's different. And I'm up jogging on this mile-high place where we live in Laguna Beach, on this huge, giant park they put in. It must be 20 acres, and there's a lot of people. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And all of a sudden, I'm right in the middle of my jogging, and I hear this voice in my head, hello, I'm Liara. Like, oh, good, you know, a new contact. This is what I was expecting. And she starts talking to me, and she says, well, we're here now. I says, where are you? You know, I could feel her, but I didn't know where she was. I didn't see anything. It was in the afternoon. And she says, well, we're right here above the park. I says, well, that's wonderful, you know. I mean, I really had this attitude. I says, you know, I'm sure you're there, but you're going to be just like the Pleiadians, and you're not going to be evident to the human race. She says, no, that's not true at all. We're going to be very evident to the human race. I says, well, what do you mean? She says, well, we're here now. And I says, well, I don't see you. She says, you're about to. I says, fine. So all of a sudden, in the sky, way up there, not very, about a half a mile up, this huge, giant square lights up, about the size of a football field. And then another square lights up, and another one, and another one, and another one, and another one. And it does this. You got 12 of these, or 12 of these squares, like this. And they're in the sky, and they're all lit up. And it's like, but almost like that color of that neon right there against a blue sky. Imagine a very clear blue sky. And then I notice a kind of a reflection on this hard metallic object, or this surface. And then what I see then is in like part of a cigar thing. So I see this part lighting up, and then this kind of a reflection, but this is all invisible in between. And this repeats itself 4 times. This is taking a half a mile of the sky up, so I see this kind of an outline of this giant ship with very bright squares in the middle of it. And I says, well, that's kind of impressive, you know. This is how cynical I was. I says, but I suppose I'm the only one seeing this, right? Because this is, once again, you know, the way they run the gravity beams from the Pleiadian ship. And Liara says, why don't you look around? So I stop and I look around. All of a sudden I notice people playing tennis have stopped playing tennis. People jogging have stopped jogging, and they're all pointing up at the sky at this huge phenomenon that's going on. I says, okay, you got my attention. You know, they're very obvious. And she said by 1995 the world would very much know of their presence. Today, when you talk to Sean Morton, if he hasn't spoken, ask him about the direct interface that he's had with these people at Area 51 alongside myself. Yeah, any other questions now? Yeah. The what? I was in Belgium when that happened. That was a few years ago. They completely confessed it, but once again, it was all covered up in the news. I don't think that was an Andromedan ship. There's many other races. I think Sean probably has more input on that one than I do. Yeah. Indirectly, the Greys are responsible for a lot of the stuff that's going on, because they've taught our government how to kill us. Remember, you know, the HIV virus was created several years ago in a laboratory when they married a sheep and a cow, And they mixed that with, you know, in 1978 with the hepatitis B vaccine here in San Francisco and killed 2,000 people. That's what started AIDS. They have a much more powerful disease they're releasing now. I was told by Andromedans, and I was up in Santa Fe when they released it on the Indians right next door at Los Alamos. And I was there that weekend, 13 Indians died. I was there. I felt the energy from it. That's coming. They have another one now that's in all the colleges right now. It makes your sexual organs look, there's 40 million people that have it. It makes your sexual organs look like cauliflower. It's called HIP virus. It's spreading in all the colleges right now. They don't know if it's going to be fatal or not. Right now they think it's an irritation, but they've got a little, when they activate the second stage of it, you'll see something else up. That's currently in the newspapers. They released some individual stuff on school children down in Texas. That was an experimental area for a while. I mean, I go on and on and on. I spent, you know, 15 years with the National Health Federation learning about this stuff. I've only got 1 minute left. I like to say that I have a seminar tomorrow sometime. Look up the, I think it's around 2 o'clock. We have a booth in a room down here with a big pyramid on it if you want to try the receptor, 1:30. And then I'm also on November 19th and 21 doing a intensive in Laguna Beach where people will actually come from the seminar and will go into the vortex that saved our house from these fires and experience it for themselves with the lasers and all the other stuff. And I also will be talking about Pleiadian music and sound, which I'm involved with too. So other than that, I'm out of time. They let me go over an extra 10 minutes, which is nice of them. And I thank you very much for coming.
Oh, Dr. Bell, so popular there. Yes, he was. Anyway, we had fun in that one. Now I'm just going to finish up with the UFO panel. Hopefully the clarity is much better. This is the UFO panel we were listening to 4 weeks ago. This is the climax of it, so we'll continue right on with that.
Emergency room physician in Los Angeles, California, and I'm working group coordinator for the Center for the Study of Extraterrestrials, CE5, that's Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind initiative. And what the center is doing is we're organizing teams of UFO researchers. Actually, I'm not so much interested in UFOs, but more interested in extraterrestrial spacecraft and extraterrestrial intelligence. And we're organizing teams of citizen diplomat/researchers to go out into the field and do on a real-time basis, in a prospective manner, interact with extraterrestrial spacecraft. We go to selected sites. I've had a series of sightings. I'd like to share one, with a very dramatic one with you, that happened on February 1st, 1993, at 11:45 p.m., when 100 miles outside of Mexico City, at the base of Popocatépetl volcano, I was with a CSETI team. There were five of us, two physicians, PhD psychologists, and we were all studying the UFO phenomena at the base of the Popocatépetl volcano when a large triangular craft came into our vicinity. It was moving obliquely from our position, and when we signaled at it with the powerful lights that we employ, it turned and came directly at us. It was accompanied by a small, what we would call perhaps a scout ship that was disc-like in shape, and as the craft approached, we could see clearly it was monumental in size. It virtually eclipsed a ridge as it moved over it, and there was a small church which looked like a matchbox next to this large triangle, at least 300 feet, probably 600 or 700 feet, maybe even 900 feet across. It was at night. And as we signaled, the craft signaled back in an intelligible fashion. Flash to the craft, flash return, double flash from us. And this is the kind of interactive experiences that CSETI is facilitating. The object did not land, and we were not able to have a boarding, which is the stated goal of our organization. But we were able to, again, establish that these craft are under intelligent control, and the beginnings of an interactive relationship are possible. You know, we believe it's important to step out of the shadows. I agree with the previous speaker. We can't count on the governments to do this. After all, they're involved in national security issues. And the UFOs, because they really probably look at us like one planet with one race of beings, tend to undermine every belief system and every nationalistic concern. So we believe that it's the responsibility of the world citizens to go out and to engage the extraterrestrials in a peaceful, non-harmful manner. And that's what I've been doing for the last 3 years now as a coordinator for a Center for the Study of Extraterrestrial Intelligence. We have teams in Los Angeles, in Denver, North Carolina, Phoenix, And there were there was activities in the Washington area as well. So I invite everyone who's interested not only in seeing UFOs, but in a safe and responsible way interacting with them, to attend my workshop tomorrow night at 6 o'clock or stop by the lecture tomorrow at 1. And I'm sure that, you know, this is really too important to leave to the generals and to the politicians. And the citizens of the world are going to have to take the initiative, because when the people lead, then the leaders will follow. Thank you.
Mr. Boylan?
Good afternoon. I'm Dr. Richard Boylan, a clinical psychologist and a researcher in the matter of extraterrestrial contact with human beings. I've, since 1989, been working with over 145 people who've reported extraterrestrial encounters, done some psychological screening, interviews, sometimes hypnotically assisted memory block removal, and integrating the emotional and the factual content of their experiences. I'll be speaking at greater length about this at my workshop at 4 o'clock this afternoon about what I found, both in terms of the extraterrestrials, what encounters are like, what the effect is on people, what the message they bring is, but very much on the effect on human beings, which is perhaps of even more interest to us. And what I have found overwhelmingly is that after initial anxiety or shock or befuddlement, that most people move through relatively rapidly to a sense of privilege, wonder, a sense of having their minds been blown in a beneficial way, and find personal transformation, and as we understand the message that is embedded in the visits from the extraterrestrial, a coming Earth transformation. Certainly, there is a huge new climate now that was not even in existence in 1992, merely 2.5 years ago, of openness towards UFO and ET reality information. And this is climaxing very soon in terms of coming out in the open. You've noticed the barrage of media attention. You can't turn on a TV program anymore without a week going by and somebody has their at least amateur videotape of a UFO on a documentary program. On the political front, there are major forces at work to bring things out now. Lawrence Rockefeller has prevailed on President Clinton with his White House initiative to bring this matter out promptly into the open. And the Central Intelligence Agency has been commissioned to help assist this to happen. However, it is not all simplistic. There is a, what I will label a renegade faction within the covert compartments in military and intelligence that have been managing the cover-up. Some of them who are not willing to assist the cover-up, who want to keep status quo. And so you will see over the days ahead a clash between the forces trying to bring out the information to the public and those who are digging their heels in and trying to maintain the cover-up. However, all the initiative is not on the human side. There is a major initiative from the extraterrestrial side that has 4 points to their game plan that I would share with you. The first is that the pace, the boldness, and the openness of UFO sightings is increasing. I would only cite the Michigan overflies, which last year, which are now repeating, and in Mexico City, Gulf Breeze, and many other places. The second element is the increasing number of close encounter experiencers coming forward and going public with their experiences, so that therapists, researchers, and even media people are becoming aware of scores and hundreds and thousands coming forward. And some of these include delayed reaction cases, people whose experiences are 40 years old but whose memories have just been turned on and are now coming forward. The third element is the number of UFO researchers and experiencers who are feeling a sense of mission to bring this out in the public, and you see many of them before you here today, are increasing and increasing in their boldness of presentation. We've come out of the closet, if you will. And lastly, certain persons in governmental positions are moving to a new posture, permitting the public to become aware of UFO ET reality, as I've already indicated. There will be, on Memorial Day weekend in Washington, D.C., a conference called When Cosmic Cultures Meet, whose stated purpose, and this will be a gathering of political leaders, scientists, professors, psychologists, journalists, religious leaders, and so forth, from around the world, to deal with the topic of what should be Earth's proper reaction when it comes out in the open that other cultures from other civilizations, other star systems are visiting us. After this conference, which will be televised and covered by the media, it will be extremely difficult for the forces of cover-up to pretend that this subject isn't real and that serious people don't take it seriously any longer. What is coming up? The conference news sheet says we're going to speak to the next millennium, but I want to speak about the next 3 years. There, just to be succinct, since the clock is running down here, there are four events I want to draw your attention to. I've done a little effort at futurism. I'm not much of a psychic, but I try and strain the one cylinder I have. But more to the point, I count on the messages from the extraterrestrials transmitted through the experiencers of contact that I've dealt with, and a few experiencer psychics who have gifts of looking into the future, and some intelligence and ex-intelligence sources that I have some contact with who tell me Langley sees it the same way the experiencers and the ETs do. Such sources, and here's what I see coming up. Between July and October, an increasing crescendo of overflies of major population centers by UFOs. Probably late October, a public world announcement of UFO presence. In 96, probably early 96, an official meeting between Earth representatives and ET representatives during a public UFO landing. And at either the end of 97 or the beginning of 98, the announcement of the establishment of a first official openly declared extraterrestrial community on Earth. Now, when we talk about millennium, and gee, we ought to get ready because somewhere, you know, in the year 2000 and something, something might come out in the open. There's a much more time compression going on, so I advise all of you to keep your eyes and ears open, watch for the little snippets of things that appear in the TV or on the newspaper, and then you don't see it repeated anymore. Those are deliberate leaks. Pay attention to them, and you'll be on top of things as they start coming down.
One second. Thank you, Richard. What he was talking about when cosmic cultures meet is, I was sent some information on this about a month ago by Colonel Don Ware, and the person behind this is Lawrence Rockefeller, who owns a company called the Human Potential Foundation Movement. And, you know, although if you sort of study what's going on with energy, Rockefeller has sort of been a dirty name for a long time. Apparently, well, I mean, bless their little money-making hearts. Lawrence Rockefeller appears to be really working behind the scenes to bring some consciousness to the whole situation. And they are very much aware that it's a, you know, it's a big task and it's a multidimensional phenomena. So they know that the paradigms are going to have to change in our whole worldview in order for us to allow this information in. But I had not heard that this was a confirmed conference. The last I heard, I got the guest roster of who had been invited to speak. And it was like Dr. John Mack, you know, who's a Harvard psychiatrist who wrote Abductions and who's worked with Bud extensively, David Jacobs, Clinton and his wife. I mean, it was a pretty, you know, ambitious list. So are you saying that this is confirmed?
Yes.
My, my, my. That's great. Well, it's really nice to hear that. Thank you for bringing that information in. Sean David Morton.
This is the end of side one. Turn the cassette over now to side two to continue.
Well, that kind of does it for today. We'll do the rest tomorrow or next Saturday.